Amen. Well, I want to have my wife come up. I'm going to do something a little bit different here before we start, because this is Resurrection Sunday. It's also, I thought she was going to tell me to hold my stomach in. Yeah, but it's Resurrection Sunday today, and you know, God didn't send his son so that we would have a ministry. That's not why he sent him. He sent his son because he wanted to restore his family. And that's why Jesus Christ came. And so this is a time of restoration in families. This is a time of restoration in the body of Christ, that we're coming together. This is a missionary's dream, I just want you to know, for me to see all these beautiful, colorful outfits, to see all nations represented here. And we have friends, you know, that I don't know if they're watching. I don't know if we're online or whatever. But we do have friends that are watching from all different parts of the world. We do. And that we get to minister to every week. So it's not just here that we're reaching. We're reaching the world. And the purpose is for God to have his family reunited together for one purpose. We're living in the last days. This is the greatest time to be alive on the face of the earth. The prophets of old desired to be in our time right now, because they could see afar off what God was going to do in this generation. We're in the generation that Jesus Christ is going to return. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited. But I wanted us to pray together as a family before we started. And as you can see, I married way up. I did. I'm blessed. And I want to pray for our children also. And we have four children: Caitlin, Justin, Colton, and Michaela, our baby. And then we have two grandchildren, Zayden and Emerson. But we want to join together. We're going to pray for our children. And then we want to pray for your children as well. And we're believing for resurrection. We're believing for restoration in families and in homes and in children. We're believing for the fire of God to come into our children, and that they will fulfill the purpose and destiny that God designed, purposed, and created them for. And so I just wanted to agree. Oh, no, you want me to do it? Okay. Father God, me and Tanya, you said we're two or more gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. Jesus, we thank you that you're here with us right now. Father God, we're crying out, not just on the behalf of the world, but for our families and for the family of God and for those that are without Christ, even in our own home and even in our own life. We're crying out on their behalf right now, and we're claiming them. You know, you said through Paul, when he was in the Philippian jail there, and he spoke to the jailer, and you had him speak these words that we hold dear in our heart and our life today: thou shalt be saved, and all of thy household. Father God, I thank you that that blood that covered that doorpost, when the angel of death came, Father God, the blood was applied over that, over every family that was represented, for those that believed. Father God, we apply the blood to our children right now, to the doorpost of our homes and our families. Father God, I thank you that 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 on the other hand, but it will not come near us. It will not come near our family. We are going into our promised land. We are going out of bondage, and we are going into freedom. We will walk, Father God, into the promises of Almighty God and all that Jesus Christ died to provide. And I thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. What a privilege we have. You know, there's so many things to share on the resurrection. And I encourage you, look through all four. It's, you know, the resurrection of Christ is in all four Gospels. You know, a lot of the stories we get, they're in usually in three. And John, the beloved, this is a good revelation, too, for you guys that study the Bible, is, you know, each disciple's revelation, we call them the apostles now, they were the called out ones when Jesus was here. But each one of them's revelation of Christ became their ministry. So your revelation of Christ will be your ministry. If you're wondering, hey, I wonder what my ministry is, I can tell you right now, your revelation of how you know Jesus, that's actually going to be your ministry. That's the thing that he did to touch your life, to change your life. And so the good news is we don't have to try to be like anybody else. We don't. Just be the best you that God made you to be and operate in what God called you to operate. But I encourage you, you know, we won't have time this morning to go over all of the depictions of the gospel of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we get it from four different perspectives. The first perspective is from Matthew. And we see it in Matthew 27 and then in 28. And Matthew was a tax collector. And Matthew primarily spoke to an Hebrew audience. You know, when he was writing, he wasn't writing just to the whole world. He was actually writing to the Jewish or the Hebrew people. And he was writing from an or communicate in a way that they would understand what he was saying. And I don't know if it's all of all tax collectors, but in some stories, he doesn't say as much as the other writers about particular stories. For instance, the woman with the issue of blood, he goes over three verses, right? Where when we look at Mark's gospel, Mark was an evangelist. And I'm an evangelist, so I know I really like Mark. And he's a storyteller. How many of you know any storytellers? You know, well, you do now. You can all put your hands up. I'm an evangelist, so I'm a storyteller. And we all have a story. And our story is in God and in his life and how he touched our life and even how we were brought into the earth. And I won't go over my testimony, but Mark's gospel, he says lots. He says lots. And then we go to Luke, and Luke was a physician. And so, you know, Luke's gospel comes from the point of a doctor or someone that's learned in different ways. And even when you study the words, you'll find out that he even brings out medical terminology in some of the things that he shares. And then we got John. And John, you know, John's stories aren't all in. You know, if you're studying the chronological part of the Bible, you'll find out a lot of the stories that are written, John's not in the story with the woman with the issue of blood. You know, you don't see his perspective, but they all have different perspectives. And John, you know, he was, his revelation was love. And I just love the whole, you know, this whole season. You know, we do it in remembrance. It happened a couple thousand years ago, but we do it now to remember all that Christ has did and to remember the suffering that he went through and the struggles that he went through and the time that, you know, he asked them guys, Peter, James, and John, in the garden to pray with him. You know, when we go through a crisis, we don't want to go through a crisis alone. No, we don't. We want other people there with us. And if you're a believer, boy, if you're going through a crisis in your family, you want other believers with you to say, hey, I don't know all that I'm going through, but would you pray with me? Would you believe with me? You know how sometimes, you know, we hear about a crisis someone's going through and we say, hey, we'll remember you in prayer. I say, well, remember me right now. Like, I need it right now. And I hope you really remember when you go. I hope you're not just saying it because it's a nice thing to say. I hope we do it and make it happen. And so, you know, at the Last Supper there, John was the one that had his head on Jesus' chest. And that might seem kind of different. You know, I grew up, my family were bikers and construction workers. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And so, you know, if someone told me, hey, you're going to lay your head on somebody's chest, I thought, not today. No, I didn't hug my dad till I was 18, you know. And I grew up in a family. My dad, it's almost like, you know, he told my mom he loved him when they were first going together and when they got married. And then he just expected, well, I already told her what she should know, right? Yeah, but how many of you know we need to tell people every day, hey, we love you. We appreciate, we should definitely share that with our children. We should encourage others and bless others and lift them up. But John was known as the Beloved, right? And the Beloved means loved by God. And boy, when they were taking that communion, I don't know why they gave us, I hope we're having it today, but if we are, I didn't know about it. I didn't see it on the schedule, but I'm glad we're going to have it because it reminded me of that time that Jesus met with his disciples on the Passover. And only 33 years old, half of what I am right now. And he said, this is the last time we're going to have this together. And he said, the next time we have it, we'll be up there. So that's kind of cool, isn't it, to think, hey, we're going to have communion in heaven also. Yeah, this is just practice here. And but we're going to actually have it with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to be able to celebrate. And he had to say that, but he also said something in that conversation. He said, one of you here are going to betray me. And you know what they didn't? They didn't go, well, I know it's not me. They, you know, it's probably, you know, none of them. You know what they all said? Because Jesus knows everything. They'd been around him enough to know, hey, we think we know something. Or we think, you know, we've got all kinds of information that justifies our actions and the things we do. And they already found out through conversation and being with Jesus. Here's what they all said. Is it me? Am I going to be the one that's going to betray you? They all said that, and then one of them dipped with, you know, in the, with Jesus, and he said, is it me? It's Judas, right? And he said, you said it. You're the guy. Yeah, you know, the thing about Jesus I love, he never said, you know, maybe you could go in the other room now. You know, you're going to do this deed, and you're here with me right now. But you're going to actually betray me, and you're going to sell out for money, and you're going to do things that are going to cause me. But he already knew what the scripture said, right? So he already knew he had to do it, you know? And then I thought, boy, you know, we would have sent him somewhere else. But even when he betrayed Jesus, and they, you know, Jesus, we think, boy, he was this certain-looking guy that everyone would know him. You know, it's almost like you get this idea that, you know, God's power was on him, his anointing was on him, and you know, there was a glow about him. And if you walked into the room, you wouldn't have to wonder which one Jesus would. But when we read the scripture, we find out it wasn't actually that way. That they didn't know. When these soldiers came to arrest him, you know, Judas, maybe if you could go there and maybe get the one you give a kiss to, then we'll know. That's him. You know him. You've spent time with him. You know, point him out to us. We don't know. We don't see the glow. We don't feel anything. But even when he gave that kiss of betrayal to Jesus, you know what Jesus said? Friend. You're my friend. I love you. I even know what you're doing. But I want you to know I love you. I believe in you. I don't know why you're doing what you're doing, but I believe in you. You know, he was so moved. You know, Judas was. He tried to get out of it. You know, how many of you know just you can't get out of sin by trying to do the right thing? Yeah, the right thing, you know, he tried to throw that money back because he thought that's the right thing, you know. I took it. Now I'm feeling bad. No, I want to take it back. You know, they didn't accept that. You know, the right thing, to do the right thing, you have to say the right thing. You know, you have to believe the right thing. So it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it said, if you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, it says, for with the heart man believes, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't say might, said they shall. And it's still, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 14. I'm 66 today. And it's just as real to me today as it was then. It is. I'd like to say I made all the right choices. After, I didn't. But you know, the great part is, he never gave up. No matter how many times I did wrong, said the wrong things, did the wrong things, he never gave up. He kept saying, no, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get out of that situation. Like the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, right? Everybody knew. She didn't have to say, you know, it wasn't me, you know. No, these guys pulled you out of that situation while you were having sex with that guy. I don't know where the guy is. He should be here also. But, you know, they wanted to accuse him. You know what Jesus told her? When they were trying to accuse and get him to be the accuser, you know what he said? You know why they wanted to accuse him, her, have him do that? So they could accuse him, right? Well, this is what Moses said. This is what the Bible said. What do you think about that? Jesus drew on the ground like he wasn't even listening to him. I kind of always wanted to know what he wrote on the ground. You know, I thought, what could it be that he would write on the ground while they were talking, while they were trying to get him to enter into accusation? You know what he said? He didn't say anything. But this, he said, you who are without sin, you can cast the first stone. You guys can. You know, I don't have it today, but I normally do. But I always carry a stone in my pocket, you know, as a reminder. When someone tries to get me into a conversation about someone else, and usually someone I know, and someone that's done wrong, and they want me to kind of enter into that accusation, you know, what do you think about, you know what I do? I grab a hold of that stone. I say, no, I'm not throwing no stone. It could have been me. Could have been me. The Bible says, you which are spiritual, restore. Be a restorer. That's what Jesus Christ came for, to restore us, right? Get us back into right relationship and to keep us in right relationship. That's why the Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit's right now to keep us in right relationship with God and to empower us. But anyway, you know, in all these stories, you know, we see things that happened. And boy, they came into Jerusalem. You know, 1 week before they came into Jerusalem for the Passover, you know, they were, Jesus was riding that donkey, and you might know the story, but, you know, they had a lot of sacrifices that week. And they led the sacrifice. I learned this from a very important preacher I know. Yeah, that they brought that sacrifice, you know, the high priest did, into the city, and everyone would acknowledge that that's the sacrifice, and that's the same road that Jesus rode the donkey on, right? And he was the sacrificial lamb, but, you know, the week before he got there, he was in Jericho. You know, Jericho, it's called a beautiful city, and it's got these, it's a real fragrance, got balsam trees, and it's beautiful smell, and it's shaped in the shape of a crescent, and it's 18 miles from Jerusalem. And at the time of Jesus, I think there was about 10 or 12,000 priests that lived there. And they couldn't afford to live in Jerusalem, so they had to walk that road, you know, that we get the story from about the guy that got beat up and left by the side of the road. That was called the Bloody Way because a lot of thieves and robbers lived on there. But on that road, you know, these priests, you know, they'd go back and forth, and there was a guy sitting by the side of the road. His name was Bartimaeus, and we call him blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. You know, the word Timaeus means unclean. He's the son of an unclean man and known as an unclean man in his community. And not only was he unclean, but he was blind. And every day he had to sit by the side of the road begging. And he was an official beggar. You know, in Israel, if you were an official beggar, you were recognized by society as someone that couldn't take care of yourself at all. And so he was set in a certain place by the side of the road. And then they put a robe on them that everybody that walked by them identified them with, oh, he's a beggar. But he's an official beggar. So in their monetary system, you know, the Hebrew people set aside money for poor people and for those that can't do for themselves. That's part of that's part of all the Hebrew people. That's the way they were instructed in the Word of God. So they took that portion, and he was an official beggar. And, you know, somehow, some way, he heard about Jesus. And all of a sudden, couldn't see anything, but he heard someone say, hey, he's here. Jesus is here. He's right here. He thought, no, I'm believing for something. He's here. I've heard about him. I've heard these other priests talk about how he opens the eyes of the blind. He's here. You know what he said? He just started crying out. Jesus, son of David. You know, the word David means seed of love. Son of David, seed of love. I heard how you loved everybody else. Love me. Love me. Show your love to me. I've got a real problem in my life. I can't see. I can't see. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You know, there was a multitude of people around Jesus. Oh, I tipped over the flower. Look in there. Thank you, honey. See there? I'm so blessed. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the people that should have been his encouragers discouraged him, right? Hey, be quiet, you beggar. You know, you blind guy, you unclean man. You know, what are you doing, hollering? Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're crying out for? You know, sometimes it doesn't matter what other people think about you. It doesn't even matter what you think about yourself. The most important part is, what does God think about me? That's it. Hey, I don't know the struggles you go through in your life. I know the struggles I go through. And I don't know how to help you in all your struggles. I don't. And I'd want to, but I do know someone that can. No. And that's the guy he was crying out for. You know what he did? He said, I don't care. You know, they're telling him, be quiet. You know what it did? It said he cried out all the more. And he was not, and you know what? He could have told everybody, hey, you don't have to sit where I'm sitting. No, you're not blind. You know, you can see. I'm blind. He said, this might be the only time in my life that Jesus ever comes by my way. And I'm not letting him pass. I'm going to grab a hold of him today because he's the answer. I don't want to hear about other people's testimony. I want him to come to my life today to change my life forever. So he cried out all the more. He kept crying out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. You know, in the Greek, that word cry out means to cry like a crow. I'm a country boy. I'm originally from Minnesota, and I grew up in the woods. You know, I wouldn't even let my kids do what my mom and dad let me do. I don't know if they had an insurance policy on me or whatever, but they'd let me go hunting in the woods all day by myself. And you know, it's all kinds of things out there. But he kept crying out. But it means to cry like a crow. So when you hear a crow in the woods, boy, it's a piercing sound. You can hear it for a long ways. And that's what it meant. He was crying out like a crow. You know, he's crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And then it said Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Now, you probably don't study the Greek, but that's the same word in the Greek, to cry out like a crow. You're God's representative on this earth. He's your representative in heaven. When you cry out, he begins to cry out for you. You keep crying out, he starts crying back to you. You know, blind Bartimaeus, and here's what he did. Now, Jesus did something that we would think, why would he do that? He commanded him to be called. He said, no, have him come to me. You would think, well, he's blind and you can see. Wouldn't it be a lot easier for you just, oh, sorry, honey, I'm going to walk another way.
Are you sure?
Yeah, sorry. I brought you up at the beginning not to keep, yeah. But he kept crying out. And Jesus commanded him to be called. He said, no, come to me. But here's the significance of it. You know, the minute he was called, the first thing he did, he took off that beggar's robe. No, he said, you know what? My identity. I'm known in this community as a son of an unclean man. I'm known in this community as someone with no vision. I don't have the ability to see. He said, I'm believing for something. He took that identity off and said, no more am I going to be a beggar. No more am I going to be the son of an unclean man. No longer is my identity. I'm changing my identity because I'm coming to Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
Father. Yeah, and then when he came, Jesus did another thing that I thought, you know, if a blind guy came up here this morning and said, hey, would you pray for me? I wouldn't normally ask him, what do you want? I think very obvious what he came for. But you know, I've did enough altar calls in the last 44 years of my life that you know, some of the things that are obvious for what I think you should be believing for, a lot of times it's not what they're asking for. You think, oh, boy, I've been a pastor also. I said every evangelist should be a pastor because then you don't blow in, blow up, and blow out. You know, you really care for people. You really feel, hey, this, when we leave, the pastor's still here. Right? And he's got to deal with all the things that we share with them. So hopefully we shared with them the good news and the realistic part of life. But Jesus said, what do you want? And I thought, you know what? He could have said, I want a donkey. You know, I'm tired of walking back and forth. Or I want a house. You know, I don't have a house and I want a house to live in. Or you know, I want a wife. You know, I don't know if it would have happened immediately. But you know, he could have asked for anything. But he said, no, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. And here's the kind of the cool thing. You might already know this. It was a revelation to me. But here's what Jesus said. He didn't say according to my faith, because I'm the Son of God. He said, according to your faith, according to your believing, let it be done. And it says, immediately his eyes were opened. And so I thought, boy, and then just a week from there, and it said he followed Jesus. Now, what a great guy to follow, huh? Here you're a blind beggar on the side of the road. 1 week before Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey or a colt, the foal of a donkey, right? And you know what? It said all of Jerusalem was troubled, saying, who is this? The city of peace that represented peace had the prince of peace. You know, the prince of peace is not like the king and the prince and the whatever. No, the prince of peace, when you're speaking to Jesus, he's the commander of peace. That's how he commanded that storm, be still. And it said immediately the storm stopped, right? Now imagine this in your life. Anything that you're going through in your life, today, right now, any situation that you're going through in your life, because he is who he is, in just a few words, he can say, peace, be still. And all of your problems, all the circumstances, all the situations that are troubling you are over. The sickness and that's trying to confront and take over your body and your life, he says, be healed. Be whole. And immediately, he could say to the blind person, see, according to your faith, let it be done. So he followed Jesus into Jerusalem, but when all of Jerusalem was troubled, he's saying, who is this? I think there was a guy in the crowd that had been following, only a new believer for only a week. But you know what I think he said when the whole city was going, who is this? I think he gave his testimony. I think he said, hey, just 1 week ago, I was a blind man sitting by the side of the road. And a man named Jesus came by. And I'm going to tell you who he is. He restored my sight. I believe there was a woman in the crowd that could have said, hey, I had an issue of blood for 12 years in my body. And I went to the doctors. I spent all the money that I had. But Jesus came through and I knew he couldn't touch me. But if I could just touch the fringe of his garment, right? If I could grab a hold of that tassel, I knew the healing covenant of God was represented in that tassel. I knew I would be made whole. I knew it. I knew I'd be healed. And she said, I did it. I did it. I reached through and I did it. And now I've been made whole. I believe there was a leper in the previous leper in that crowd. You know what he said? I was listening when he was on the mountaintop sharing what we would call the Beatitudes, right? I was just listening from a distance. But after he was done, I approached him. I couldn't come close, but I approached him and I said, Lord, I know you can. If you want to, make me clean. You know what Jesus did? It said, first of all, Jesus came and he touched him. He touched him. He didn't say, oh, I can't touch you yet. You got leprosy, you know. You know what leprosy is? Leprosy is a sign of sin in the flesh. That's what it is. And you know what happens to lepers? They lose all their sense of feeling. And they lose their sense of recovery. They can put their hand on a hot stove and they don't feel it, but they can watch their hand burn right off. Every time they bump themselves or do something, that healing doesn't happen. Because they've lost all sense of feeling. They don't care anymore. Did you ever run into anybody like that? They just don't care. It used to be a believer, they just don't care. But he said, Lord, I know you can if you want to. I don't want to be a leper anymore. I don't want to be unclean. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be without vision in my life. You know what, Jesus? He gave God's answer. He said, I want to. He said, I want to. Be made whole. Be made whole. Yeah. And immediately his leprosy left. I don't know where you are today. This is Resurrection Sunday. I was going to talk actually out of Luke, but I don't have enough time. And I don't want to keep hungry folks hungry, but I'm not going to let you go until I've just finished. It'll only take me a couple minutes because we're here on Resurrection Sunday. And I pray the same way that you hunger after food. You'll hunger after God, and you'll hunger after his word, and you'll hunger after the reality. I hope we can be real, open, and honest with one another and not pretend, you know. I'll confess something to you today. You know, when we had kids, we'd go to church, and me and Tanya have been involved in lots of ministries and churches, and our kids were little, and I might even been preaching the day, and the kids were fighting in the back. I had to stop the van and pull them out and give them a little Jericho march around the van, you know. And then you come into church and everybody goes, oh, praise the Lord, how are you? And you go, oh, praise the Lord, yeah, we're doing great. My kids are all crying, but we're doing great. Yeah, and how many of you know we come, and how many of you know it's not always great? It's not. We need to learn to be open and honest with one another. You know, how can we expect Jesus to help us if we can't be open and honest with him, right? To share and say. But, boy, there's so much in this story that I didn't get to share. But, you know, he died for us. And it was, he was beat beyond recognition. You know, before he ever went to the cross. And he carried that cross. I walked that same road when I was probably 32 years old, first time I went to Jerusalem. No, actually, I was 30. And walked that same path that Jesus took after that beating. And I was kind of winded, but I thought, man, he was beat beyond recognition and he was carrying that. We know that Simon of Cyrene helped him, but he made it. He made it. And all the things that he went through, the Bible says it was for joy. Joy that he did it. Took the beating, went on the cross, humiliated before the whole world, had a murderer picked out instead of him, and as God's son. But he said, I did it for them. I did it for the world. I did it, and I counted it as joy. I didn't say one word while I was getting beat, because I counted it as joy. Why? Because I knew they weren't going to have to live in sickness. I knew they weren't going to have to live with disease in their body. I knew they weren't going to have... Sin wasn't going to be the dominating factor of their life. They were going to make a choice to say, I'm going to live for him. I believe that he did this for me. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe it with my heart, and I say it with my mouth. But everything that I say according to the word of God, that I say what he says. If you say what God says, God will do what he says. He's watching over his word to perform it. Jesus is the word that he's watching over to say, I sent him for you. He died for you. He was beat for you beyond recognition. You know the hardest thing that Jesus had to go through in the garden? Wasn't taking the sin of the world on him. Wasn't taking every damnable disease that mankind could commit. You know why he was crying in the garden? Because he had never been out of God's presence. Ever. And he said, I'm going to be out of my Father's presence. And he's going to turn away from me. And I don't know what it's like to have him turn away. I don't know what it's like to not have my Father looking at me and talking to me. He's going to have to turn away because I've got to take all of the sin of mankind on myself and in myself. And then I've got to carry it to the lowest parts of the... Oh boy, my thing's even going crazy here. My wife should have helped me. Yeah. He did all that for you. He did. And he was raised from the dead. He had to believe just like we have to believe. He had to say, hey, he said it. And God gave him the choice in the garden when he was praying there. And it was the first time in his life that God, he actually acknowledged that choice. That he said, boy, this is a hard thing. Because I know this is going to hurt my flesh. I know it's going to really, this beating that I'm taking, they're really going to push the crown of thorns into my head. You know, every part of that cross from the tree, Adam messed up on a tree. Jesus was put on a tree. They pushed, you know, the ground was cursed because of Adam. They pushed that crown of thorns into his head. Why? Redemption in every way was done on the cross. When they pierced his side and blood and water flowed, you know what that was? He didn't die because the soldier pierced his side. Blood and water came out. That means he died of a broken heart. His heart was broken for mankind to think, you don't know me. I came here for you. I came here to show you what it's like to be a part of God's family. I know every struggle that you're going through. I know every circumstance and situation that you're confronted with. And I came for you. He died of a broken heart. They pierced his feet. You know why? Because that's the first messianic prophecy, that his feet were actually going to step on the head of the serpent. And you know what the enemy thought? Now try. But what he didn't know, and if he would have known, the Bible says he would have never did it. You know what? But God knew, no, I'm going to destroy. Oh yeah, thank you. You guys are supposed to dramas like this. Yeah. But anyway, I want to pray for you before we go. While every head is up and every eye is opened, this is just how I do it. I didn't grow up in church. So, and it's a mean world out there. Everybody in here, we love you. We do. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your problem is. Jesus is here this morning. And he's calling you right now to say, I want you to realize what I came here for. And what I'm here to do for you. I died for you. I was resurrected for you. I took a beating for you. So that you wouldn't ever have to live with sickness and disease in your body. If you're without Christ today while every head is up and every eye is opened, And you say, I don't know if I died right now, if I'd go to heaven. If that's you, and if there's a question in your mind, go, is it me? It's you. It's you. Raise up your hand and say, I don't want to. I want to live right. Yeah, put it all the way up there. Say, I want to live right. I want to receive Christ into my heart. I want to know today that if I died, that I'm going to go to heaven. Is there others beside these? You know why I do it? If we can't do it in here before people that love us, how are you going to do it out there? There's mean people out there. There's people that want to kill you. There's people that want to steal from you. There's people that want to destroy you. It takes a lot of guts and a lot of courage to really live for God. So, Father God, I just thank you right now for these that raise your hand. Would you just stand up in your seat right where you are? And I'm not doing this. I don't do things to embarrass people. I do this to acknowledge, hey, this is the family of God. Christ has restored his family. He doesn't want you living in sin. He doesn't want you living with disease. He doesn't want you living with sickness in your body or in your life. He came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I want you to experience all the purpose and the plan that God designed you for. I want the reality of what Jesus Christ died for to become a reality in your life right now. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you just to pray with me. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me where I've sinned against you. I turn away from my sin today, and I'm turning to you, Jesus. I ask you, forgive me for my sins. I ask you. Now you got to say it with your mouth. I can't say it for you. I'm just telling you right now, and I'm not leaving with knowing that you didn't say it. I am. It's very important. I can't say it for you. You have to say it. Yeah. Just like blind Bartimaeus, you know, he had to cry out. And no one else could cry out for him. But say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my sin today. And I'm turning to you. Jesus, anywhere you want me to go, anything you want me to do, I promise I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. Father God, I thank you for these that have stood up today. Thank you, Lord, for your power coming into them right now. Lord, I thank you that they are marked on the behalf of heaven. They are part of the family of God. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father God, I thank you for your power coming on them right now. Thank you, Lord, that they are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All their sin, everything they've done wrong, is passed away. It's now behind them. They are washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Today, I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for your power coming on them. Thank you, Lord, that they are not going to turn back. They are not going to turn away. They are not going to give up on their purpose in this generation, that they're going to be mighty warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not bow their knee to drug, sex, alcohol, any addictive nature. Father God, I thank you that they will not give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. They'll only bow their knees to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Father God, I thank you that they will not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power flowing into this church right now. Father God, I curse every bit of sickness at the roots out of this church. I break its power over their body. I'm God's representative sent with authority to take dominion over sickness, disease. I curse it at the roots out of her body. I command it to leave right now in the name of Jesus. God, let your power come into her right now. Let your power from heaven. Disease, you can't stay in her body. I curse you at the roots. I command you, come out of her body right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Getting healed is not the answer. Living in healing, that's the answer. Living in the promises of Almighty God. The Bible says the redeemed of the Lord shall say so. You have to say something with your mouth. You can't stop who comes and knocks on your door. You can't stop who you let come in. So many people need a checkup from the neck up. What's coming in my eyes, what's coming in my ears, and what's coming out of my mouth? No, you need to say what God says. You need to find out in the Bible, just like Jesus said, it is written. You need to say when the enemy comes knocking on your door, you need to say, no, you can't come in. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep, he said it four times in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice in the voice of a stranger. They will not hear or even acknowledge. No, you need to say something. You need to. And some of you need to grow up. Grow up. Yeah, you've been waiting on other people, been talking on your behalf. Some of you, your whole life. So Father God, we just thank you right now. Thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. You're their deliverer. You're their baptizer in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues. Father God, I thank you that you're the God that's more than enough, that you'll make a way where there was no way. And Father God, we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.